to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 71 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. All right, mere days away from MIS. In the wrestling world, this would be called the go-home show, the last build to the big pay-per-view. So who better of a guest for the go-home show other than the guy that will be hanging out with me this weekend at MIS? You know who he is. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Andrew Sherwin from the PETM Podcast. Sherwin, what's up, brother?
That's how I start our show, so hell, I figured I'd start yours the same way.
I love it. What's going on, man?
Oh, man. We just fresh off recording a hell of a show last night.
That was a good show.
I'm convinced that we have found, like, the female IndyCar counterpart to what we're doing.
That's so cool.
They were a lot of fun, very similar personalities, very similar in the fact that they've known each other for a really long time. So, like, the whole chemistry thing is working pretty good for them. And
that's it's neat. Fast cars, fast girls, right? That's their
fast cars, fast girls. I think Abby mostly runs the Twitter handle for the podcast. And then the other co-host, Molly, has her own, and that stuff's all easy to find. I won't call it out because, you know, Molly's a lawyer, so she's got her own demons to chase in the public space.
Nice. What'd you do this past weekend? Anything fun there?
Oh yeah.
Dirt track racing.
Yeah, we went to the local dirt track.
Nice.
I say local. It's the closest one to us. It's about 25 miles from where I live right now.
Okay.
Actually, it's not even that far. It's probably like 17 miles. Okay. Takes about a half hour to get to. 3/8 dirt mile. They had a full card of all the different late model series that you might be aware of. The 525 blocks, the 602 crate motors, and then super lates. Kenny's series ran.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, the compact two-wheel drive or front-wheel drives ran, and it was like 16 cars. It was a big field.
Nice.
And then the highlight of the show was the closer was they ran a race in reverse.
I remember you talking about that last night. That's I couldn't imagine doing that. I mean, I get dizzy.
What. Yeah, well, so it was like only one person had it figured out, and he was, you know, the people would catch him because they would do something stupid, but then they would always swap ends out of turn four. Like, it you go in turn three in reverse and they'd be too behind on steering and it would just snap around and smash the fence. It was hilarious.
That would be fun to watch. All right, so before we get too far into this, in honor of the PETM podcast, what you drinking?
Oh yeah, well, so let me start.
Cheers. So I can see it. No, you guys can't, but Sherwin's got his beer in a Lap Traffic koozie, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. So sorry.
We'll break fourth wall.
Yeah, I'm accustomed to the YouTube platform, so I have the fourth wall issue. But yeah, yes. I've got a Lap Traffic koozie.
Love it. Love
that
it.
That is dressing my Comstock Michigan Bell's Two-Hearted IPA, which is one of my favorite beers.
Excellent.
We get a nice distribution of Michigan beer down here in Georgia, and I'm sure that's due to some greater affiliate like AB InBev or Miller Coors, but it's fantastic beer.
Are you a fan of Shorts Brewery?
That one I am not familiar with.
Okay, that's I believe like a Petoskey area type location where their main brewer center is, and that's they got all kinds of different flavors. You know me, I'm not a big beer drinker, but I know Shorts is a big one, and maybe we'll have to get you some of that this weekend here. I know Lindsay's a fan of Shorts, so.
Well, the big ones from our perspective down here are New Holland, Founders, and Bell's.
Okay, yeah.
I know there's another one in Detroit that eludes my mind right now that we get down here too. But in my mind, I mean, we have great beer down here, but nobody's doing it better than Bell's, New Holland, and Founders for sure.
Excellent. Let's see. You guys know I obviously have a vodka Red Bull flowing here. Tito's, of course.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that I've also got a diet tonic and bourbon.
Nice. Nice.
Just kind of hanging out here.
So come segment five, you know, when this hits the rails.
This is an adult arena.
Yes, absolutely.
Children are allowed to play, but understand that adult behavior is taking place.
I love it. All right. So, Sherwin, so I'm picking your ass up at the airport bright and early Thursday morning, like 9 a.m.
I'm still trying to figure out if I'm staying up all night or not, because I need to be at the airport at, I guess for a domestic flight, a responsible person would be there by 6 a.m., which means I need to leave my house by 5:15 at the latest. Woo, woo. Yeah. And it feels a whole lot like I never take an Ambien. I don't have a prescription, so it's not an option. But it feels like a whole lot like I should take an Ambien at like 5 p.m. on Thursday, tomorrow, and then like try to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, kind of thing. I hear you.
And then start drinking.
So I'm going to pick you up and we're going to come back, hang out in a man cave a little bit, do a little show prep for Friday. And I'm going to take you to local watering holes around here that you guys have heard me talk about, 24 seconds in the famous Berkeley, Michigan. And then we're going to go ahead to the track Thursday night, probably afternoon. We'll go head out there, pick up some stuff for the weekend. And Friday, the big show at MIS, which I am looking very forward to. That's right. You guys get two doses of Lap Traffic this week, tonight's show, and then again Friday. Should have it up for most of your Eastern Standard Time drive home to kick off your weekend. I got a slew of interviews lined up. I'm keeping it a secret. I'm keeping it tight wraps. I will tweet it out as it's going along. Actually, Lindsay probably will. Lindsay will probably be running the Lap Traffic Twitter handle this weekend. So stay tuned for a ton of pictures and a show lineup. That is awesome. I'm very excited about it. There's some Xfinity representatives going to be on and some Cup representatives. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm leaving it at that. I'm leaving you guys on the hook for a big show on Friday, which I am very excited about. But what about tonight's show? Sherwin and I, we are going to talk about Pocono this past weekend. There was a lot to talk about. Aaron will be on with his usual weather report and is going to let us know whether or not the PETM curse is coming to Michigan or not.
Right. Hashtag blame PETM.
We will find out what's in tail for the weather this weekend. And, of course, your lucky dog, lap down picks. Fantasy segment two started with Pocono this week, and a giveaway happened earlier tonight. So all that and more lined up. Sherwin, before we get into any NASCAR race discussion, I know you talked about it last night a little bit. I'm not going to get into Indy too much other than just to have a mockery of the wreck of the pace car at the Detroit Grand Prix was, I'm at a loss for words on how to describe that.
Well, so I listened today to Door Bumper Clear and got a little bit maybe more perspective on that racetrack, because Matthew Dillner was the fill-in co-host because TJ Majors is under the weather. And he knows a lot about that racetrack from all his time in IndyCar. And he said that right before that turn is a really nasty bump that, you know, like if you're not really prepared for it, like it could cause you to stab the throttle if you're already in the throttle. So that's probably what happened. I surmised last night that maybe he had downshifted and reverse horsepower turned him around, but it seems much more likely that he was not prepared for the bump, stabbed the throttle, and just lost it.
I can't imagine he did too much practice time going around that track either, you know? So he was going pretty hard into that turn and, you know.
Well, yeah. So, you know, at a street course like that, Dillner's perspective was he was probably doing 80. I said last night 100. I know the pace in IndyCar is much, much faster than in NASCAR.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if he was doing 80 miles an hour and he broke the rear end loose, it's not surprising that he smashed it in the fence.
So, to piggyback off that, a buddy of mine tagged me on a video on Facebook. Are you familiar with the fan back in the 80s that attempted to steal the pace car and do some joyride laps at Talladega right before the race started?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my God. That is, like, the funniest video.
beat his ass when they got him out of the car, God. Too.
They unloaded on him. Like,
it was one of those, like, it was like a WWF or WCW deal. When they got him out, people were dropping elbows. They were not impressed with that effort.
No. I mean, I got
one and only streaking incident in NASCAR.
Right. Like, you know, I've seen guys run into a wrestling ring. I've seen guys, you know, streak in a baseball game and a football game. For you to be able to nonchalantly just stroll your way into the pace car and just start doing a few laps, I mean, that's a dare, like, hey, hold my beer thing, like, I got this, like none other.
Well, you know, I think it speaks well to the perspective of, you know, a sport grows, it only grows from experience. So until you realize that that's a possibility, you don't know how to protect against it.
Right.
And I think we see that a lot. You know, what we've seen now is, you know, the major sports outlets, when there is a streaker, which happens probably twice a week, more than likely, they immediately cut camera to make sure that that person gets no airplay.
Right.
And I mean, I'll wander into the vein really quickly of the social perspective. We should be doing the same thing when really nasty things happen in public society.
Right. Yeah. But, no, I hear you.
To keep it sports. I mean, NASCAR probably never thought, like, who in the hell is going to steal a pace car? Because all these rednecks are going to beat your ass when you do that.
And they did. And hey, it hasn't. No one's attempted it since. So I guess the point was proven. Like, hey, don't steal the pace car.
Yeah, I guarantee you there wasn't one complaint filed based on the police behavior and anybody else that was involved in the apprehension, because they're like, yeah, you deserved every bit of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so one thing Sherwin and I will not be doing is stealing the pace car for a joyride at MIS this weekend.
No,
we can cross that off the books.
Yeah, I don't run very fast anymore, so.
All right, on to some NASCAR talk here. All right, so trucks were off again this past week, but the trucks will be under the lights Friday while we are at MIS, but they will be at Texas. To my knowledge, this is the first time this year all three series are running with the trucks at a different location. They do this throughout the year. I think this becomes a more common theme, just to maybe draw some attendance to some other tracks. What's your thought on splitting up where the trucks are running?
You know what? It's a great question. I've gotten myself in trouble on Twitter a bunch of times in regards to talking about the trucks, especially knowing that they're splitting the weekend with Indy. And I was like, actually, I think that's true. Is
yes,
that?
Yes. Yep.
I'm right. Yeah. So I thought the girls last night said that they got the 600 kilometers of Texas tomorrow, whatever that is. But, you know, I mean, famously, anybody that's ever had a contentious relationship with Jim Utter on the Twitter has been blocked by him. Mine came about 5 years ago when I said, you know, something on the order of, you do realize that trucks have a better TV rating than IndyCar does, you know, and he didn't like that very much. But what I would say is I love cross-pollination.
Absolutely.
That's all about, you know, that's what last night was about for us, is let's get an IndyCar and a NASCAR audience together and see if we can have some fun.
Sure.
And that's what I think is a good idea, especially for IndyCar fans that are like super hardcore open wheel IndyCar fans. That maybe don't get a lot of exposure to NASCAR, and the truck race is a very affordable ticket. It's a very enjoyable product, particularly on mile and a half. So, like, I don't know how we could get the Cup and the Xfinity to look like what trucks do at a mile and a half, but a mile and a half product with the trucks is absolutely fantastic, typically.
Sure.
And this is a great way to introduce crowds to each other. I mean, maybe somebody says, you know, I really want, you know, I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, which is a huge metroplex. You know, it's 20 million people or whatever it is. It's huge. And maybe it's an opportunity for someone to say, you know what, maybe I'll just go check out these open wheel cars and see what this is about. And they hear a sound and they see a race that they weren't expecting, or maybe, you know, it hooks them in. And now all of a sudden they're a fan of both, because there's nothing better than being a fan of all of the racing series that America and the globe produce, really. I mean,
yeah,
Indy puts on. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, there's a ton out there. You know, I know everyone kind of got on the Monaco race a couple weeks ago, but when you look at racing across the, you know, people talk about soccer being the global sport. If soccer's number one, auto racing's a close second in terms of around the globe, the different products of racing that are out there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you nailed it there. And actually, I'm watching a replay of a soccer game right now that I can see on my TV, and it that's exactly right. And if F1 is equivalent to the European Champions League, then you have, you know, your NASCAR is equivalent to MLS,
sure,
or yep, et cetera. I mean, you have very similar sized audiences. I mean, I think speaking just from personal perspective here in Atlanta, you know, we're only in the second year of our team, and they're trying to figure out if they're going to open the entire new Georgia Dome, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, up for the entire season, because every time they've opened it up, they've sold 70,000 tickets to a regular season MLS soccer game.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, just keep, you know, you keep that in mind, though. So everybody that's listening out there that's also like a football fan, and think about at your local college or the college that you root for, or your local professional team, and think about how many people go to your NFL games. Well, if you're the Jets, it's probably like maybe 55,000, maybe. And those people love to make fun of soccer fans. So that's, we're saying the same thing about racing is, open your mind to more racing than just NASCAR, because mostly these are going to be NASCAR fans are going to listen to something like this with us talking. And just keep in mind that, you know, there's a lot of racing out there, and cars making loud noises and going really fast is fun no matter what they look like.
Absolutely. I think the cross promotion that they do, I'm glad they were able to partner that up. I've said this a number of times on the show. If I'm introducing somebody to the sport, I'm showing them a truck race. I'm not showing them an Xfinity race. I'm not showing them a cup race. I'm showing them a truck race. I'm going to sucker them in with the truck race, and then I'll show them the other stuff. Like, so no better way than introducing Indy to NASCAR fans with a truck race and vice versa.
Yeah, when we have I think most of the years we're going to have a triple header at Atlanta, which is awesome, but it means we only have the one weekend, which we grew up accustomed to having two. But
yeah.
I have begged my dad to come to the truck race, and he made the only argument that I cannot get onto him for. He is so in love with my mom. He said, I could never leave your mother on a Friday night.
Aw.
And so I'm like, okay, I can't argue with that.
Right. Yeah.
I want to go to a race with my dad.
I guess you're going to have to bring mom.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. That, you know, it's only an hour and a half race. So, right? You know, mom could totally come.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll get that figured out here soon enough.
All right. Let's move over to Xfinity here. What was your take on the new package at Pocono?
Oh,
loaded question. Right. Hold on, let me sit back.
So I said a couple weeks ago to Rusty that I thought what they were doing was bad science, because I don't know that they would leave that race with any other data set than that actually wasn't better than what we normally do here. So that's what I would say, is it's not better than what we normally do there. There's no difference between being an entire straightaway ahead of second than being a half a straightaway.
Yeah.
It's the same product.
Well, so for me, I'm with you. It didn't help too much, and I think it was just too unique of a track to try to run something like that on to be able to get data. You know, they were all over the track, which was kind of cool. The cars were able to get to the back bumper a little bit. We saw a few slingshot moves, kind of old school plate racing there with the slingshot. But because they had to lift, you know, like you said, you know, all right, they got a little closer, but we just didn't get what NASCAR wanted, I don't think. It's not a matter of even what we wanted. I don't think NASCAR got what NASCAR wanted with that race.
No, I think if you were able to get Steve O'Donnell and some of those other guys in a room and in a candid room with no microphone, that they would say, yeah, that was a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
And I think based on what we saw in the All-Star race on the Cup side and what we saw in the Indy race last year on the Xfinity side, I think we all expected something different than what we saw. And that's why I was so concerned about it, is when you change six different things, six different features of the car, or I'm fixated on six. I don't, it may have been eight, it may have been four, but when you change that many things, like, you know, I come from a research background. I do.
Wait, hold on. I got, you don't have a constant.
Well, you don't. It's not just a constant. Is you really have to understand which variable that has actually changed what you're seeing. And I don't know that you could look at what we saw at Pocono and say, "Oh yeah, I know which one of those one of those moved the needle this way and one moved it that way." I mean, unless I'm in the room with those people, I would never trust them to analyze the data the way I think about it in my mind.
Sure.
And perhaps that's egotistical, but I don't care.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
They didn't find what they were looking for. In the end, they didn't find what they were looking for.
Right. Now, we're running the same kind of package here at MIS this weekend. Big, open, round, two-mile track. Do you think we're going to see a more Daytona-esque style of racing with the Xfinity series?
Well, and I'll ask you to help me out with this, but Michigan is banked somewhere near like 20 degrees, right?
It might even be a little more. I want to say it's closer to 25.
Maybe.
Yeah, 24, 25, yeah.
So I think we have a chance for a no-lift situation in the bottom groove and a mostly no-lift situation in the middle groove.
Yep.
Which is exactly what NASCAR wants. I think it would be in their absolute best interest if they run the tire dragon in the upper two grooves ad nauseum until they don't have a tire dragon anymore because it blows up.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll get that, but that would be interesting.
That's what I would do, or consider putting down the grip boogers.
Yeah. Hey, we've been doing that a little bit. Maybe. My concern is that. Watching a potential style of racing like Daytona and seeing a bunch of cars get wrecked up while we're out there. And that's going to be a bummer. And like you said, I don't know that plate racing is going to fix what people want to see in NASCAR.
I think people only reacted positively to what they saw at the All-Star race because they only saw it once.
Yes.
And teams only had one shot at preparing a car for it. I'm totally with you on – I mean, I don't want to see plate racing every week. Actually, four plate races to me is too many anyway. You know, if you want plate-style racing, watch the trucks at a mile and a half. That's fun, but it's trucks. It's a whole different situation.
Yep.
And they're not too wide – you know, 20 rows deep for the entire race in that series either at those type tracks. But you get to see what the draft means, how important it is, and understand, you know, what it looks like when a car punch or a truck punches a big hole in the air and you can move in behind them. I'm not convinced that that's what we need to see in the Cup Series or even the Xfinity Series for that matter.
No, if they could just keep it clean. And if we knew we weren't going to get a big one, I wouldn't be as opposed to that style of racing. I just hate seeing the unknown affect so many cars. It's one thing if you get loose at MIS in turn two, like you see a lot. And, you know, if you take somebody out that way, all right, well, that was not a manufactured wreck in that regard. But when you get to places like Daytona and Talladega, or like we saw at the All-Star race, the wrecks are a manufactured and are going to happen by design of the racing. Like it's impossible to do that for so long and not have a random slip up. And that's what I don't like. You know, that's like the manufactured caution. I don't like the manufactured caution. That's why I don't want them to count the caution laps for the stage breaks, you know. And you can only manufacture it so much, I think.
I totally agree with you. almost on every point that you made there. In that, well, I mean, I use the word gimmick. People don't like that gimmick. Word.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, yeah.
Plate racing is a gimmick. Yep. It's a gimmick designed to create chaos.
Yes.
As opposed to create an opportunity for the fastest car to win the race. The fastest car does not win the race in Talladega or Daytona because there is no fastest car.
Right.
I don't give a damn what the time trials say. There is no fastest car. There are some cars that are better built than others, but there is no fastest car because they're all running up against terminal velocity.
Yeah.
And so between that and the chaos that you just mentioned about, you could be running 10th. You could be having a great race, and all of a sudden you're wiped out because, somebody had that one thing that happened that made them loose, and now everybody's around, and there's 30 cars destroyed. Like, yep. That we don't want to do that everywhere, do we?
No. God, no. No, sir. All right. Let's talk about some of the finishes here a little bit. You know, we all know Kyle Busch won, Chase Elliott, but some nice runs by some Xfinity regulars competing out there with some of the Cup guys. Daniel Hemric brought it home third, Austin Cindric fourth, Cole Custer fifth, Elliott Sadler sixth, and John Hunter in seventh, all finished ahead of Paul Menard, Tyler Riddick, Ryan Truex, and even Shane Lee. When he gets in that car for RCR, he's putting a hell of a performance together.
Shane Lee is a guy I'm really excited about, and I know absolutely nothing about him. I just know that he's only been given a limited number of opportunities to be in a car that's probably pretty good, and he's done well with it,
yeah.
And that's cool.
Yep.
You always want to see an influx of talent, especially somebody that maybe on paper looks like somebody that got a flyer, you know, like they didn't have all the backing that maybe, you know, a guy like a Chase would because his dad's Bill Elliott. And you know, I love Chase Elliott.
Absolutely.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know what I mean by that? And actually, I really applaud Chase Elliott's effort in the 23 car because it backs up that Gallagher Motorsports is able to prepare a really good car. And if you put somebody you know is a really good driver in it, they're going to perform well. And also validates Spencer's ability in that car because he's done well in it.
Yep.
I hate it for him that he had whatever he had. Yeah. I won't speculate to what it was, but we can probably all guess what it was.
Yep.
Just a young kid made a stupid ass mistake, having a little bit of fun. But you know, I'm with you. I want to see the guys like Shane Lee have a chance. That's why I like that 60 ride that Roush is fielding. That's got three different kids.
Yeah.
Three different kids drive. And you're like, okay, so which one of these kids drives the best? That's probably the guy that's going to get a shot at Cup, you know, and Cindric is probably that guy right now.
It's almost like a QB tryout for college football by committee, you know, who's going to perform.
Yeah. Well, no kidding. That's what it is. That's when you go into spring with, you know, two sophomores and a freshman, you go, and a senior, you know, like a fifth year senior just graduated and got drafted in the NFL. It's like, all right, what do we do now?
Right. Yeah. Who wants it? Yep.
We think we got good kids, but we don't know.
Right. All right. So I want to talk about Kyle Busch for a minute. So, you know, he wins the Xfinity race.
Your listenership may drop off the mountain immediately.
I know.
I will be nice, actually. I will say positive things about Kyle Busch in this segment.
I am, too, just kind of because I took a step back and put some things into perspective. All right. So Kyle Busch has now won on every track that the Cup fields and runs on the circuit, and now with this Xfinity win at Pocono, has now won on every Xfinity track currently in the circuit. I'm not sure where he stands from a truck perspective, but let's look at his numbers. 50 truck wins, 92 Xfinity wins. We know he's chasing that 100 mark. 47 Cup wins, 15th on the all-time win list, and only 8 wins away from 9th on the all-time win list before we start getting up into the 70s and 80 wins with Earnhardt, Cale, Jimmy, so to speak. 189 total, 11 shy of that 200 mark everyone talks about. Now, I don't think making the comparison to Petty is fair because it is really just two completely different eras. But what he has accomplished is remarkable. Whether or not you think he's taking candy from a baby on Friday and Saturday nights, to be able to go out there and perform like he does consistently throughout all three series. Yes, he's got good cars. Yes, he's got, you know, the money behind it. But those numbers just speak so loudly.
Well, I think one of the things that we have to the hardest thing to appreciate in the moment is greatness. You know, it's like we have this constant discussion about LeBron and comparing him to, you know, Jordan or Magic or Bird. And it's like it's so hard because that person is still performing at the highest level in the sport.
Yep.
And whether or not they've reached, numbered targets that previous Hall of Famers have reached really doesn't matter. You know, I think one of the things that we'll all look back on 15 years from now when Kyle retires after having won 100 cup races and who knows how many other races is, you know, he might have been a jerk a lot of times, but he certainly was a hell of a performer.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Jordan. So here's another thing people forget. And because we didn't have social media and fans didn't get to see the behavior
you hit a key part right
there. Michael
Jordan
was a jerk, but what made him a jerk also made him the best basketball player that's maybe ever lived. And so I would say that about Kyle is what makes him a jerk is also why he wins races. That's the same – it's the same genetics and brain function that are creating that talent. It's the – if you're not first, you're last.
Sure.
If Kyle finishes second, he lost the race.
Yeah, yep. He might as well have finished 39th and wrecked out on lap five.
Yeah, the only time I think Kyle would ever be even remotely satisfied with second is if he did so at Homestead and the person he needed to beat to win the trophy finished third.
Yeah, I'm with you. So a couple points you made there. One, social media has just changed the game on all levels. Michael Jordan era, Larry Bird era, Joe Montana era, you know, we didn't see these guys from a personal perspective. We got a possible post-game interview on TV that was, you know, PC. We didn't see pictures and we didn't see their editorializing on what else is going on in the world in sports like we do today. And I think that weighs heavily on our mindsets nowadays. You know, we may not have the mindset we have on Kyle Busch back in Richard Petty era if it wasn't for social media and how loose things have gotten. So that's a really interesting point that you made there. And the other one you made was 100 wins. And I was going to ask you, Jeff Gordon sitting in third on the all-time win list at 93. I don't see how Kyle Busch doesn't hit 100 wins.
I don't either. Kyle Busch is only 33 years old. He's got at least 10 years. I said 15. Kyle seems like the kind of guy that's going to race till he's 50. Just because he's not going to be able to put the steering wheel down.
Right.
And I don't see him staying in it if he's not winning. So that's where I'm at with it. It's like, as long as he stays, he's going to be winning. And he really, I don't know, aside from when it's obvious years where one manufacturer is behind, it appears he's only getting better at what he does. Whatever it is Kyle does in the car, he's still getting better at.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, like you said, when the manufacturer's behind, if they're behind, he's the top car in that manufacturer still. So I'm with you. With you. All right. So the Xfinity Series will be back this weekend, Saturday afternoon. We will be watching it high atop the press box. I cannot wait. What's your take? You got an overall synopsis on the Xfinity Series thus far. Playoffs are going to be fun to watch. Hardly anybody's got any playoff points right now, so it's going to come down to the wire with this thing.
Well, I mean, I think we could probably talk until we're blue in the face about how they should manage the points and the playoff points, and so we'll leave that aside because we've already discussed it on both our shows.
Yes.
But I think as a fan, if I just – put my fan hat on and say, you know, I love Elliott Sadler and Spotter Brett. I need Elliott to win a damn race.
Right.
Please, please, please win a damn race. They are so much better than everybody on average every week, but they're not getting to victory lane. I think that would be great. Because I think Elliott Sadler is a great liaison for the sport.
Yeah.
Overall, I would say we're seeing some young kids have, you know, have a really good go of it. That 42 car is putting new people in every week, and they're having some success. Just like we talked about the 60 car, they're basically running three rookies to fill out their racing program for the year, and you know, they're going to race like rookies. Some of them are going to be good. Some of them are going to be horrific. But it's cool that they're doing that with that car.
Well, you got two rookies in the top five, Tyler Reddick and Christopher Bell.
Tyler Reddick, I think, is somebody that we all looked at, you know, his second year in trucks with Brad. You know, we knew Brad had good equipment. He was extremely good. And, you know, and Hemric graduated from Brad Keselowski in the trucks to where he is. So we knew those. That was a good program. Shame to see it end, but I don't know. I would say that I'm as excited about Saturdays typically as I am about Sundays in a lot of ways.
Yeah, no,
I think it's a great series.
Yeah, no, it is, and you know, I do personally enjoy the Dash for Cash races when the Cup guys aren't in there. You know, like, just as much as we could talk till we're blue in the face about points, as we could hash out, you know, the importance and all that with Cup guys being out there. That said, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe for the entire playoffs for the Xfinity Series, Cup guys are not allowed to race in those, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. No matter what level of experience you have, if you've declared points for either the Xfinity or the Cup Series, you can't run the series underneath you.
Yes. So from that regard, that is going to make the last that's going to make the Xfinity playoffs incredible to watch, because those guys are going to be out there gunning for it without as many cushion points in the playoffs like we're going to see in the Cup Series. So that I am really looking forward to that.
Well, so, and I want to flip the script on you a little bit there. Yes. And in the same vein, we heard some very interesting things this week for those that have listened to some of the professional podcasts about the back of the field. And while I've been, you know, I have very much enjoyed Last Car on Brock and Tommy Joe Martins and some of the other guys that are participating, Jordan Anderson, in the back part of the field and then explaining what it's like to try to get to the racetrack and to try to compete. I think one of the things that's been a common narrative also is the driver that is running 30 miles an hour off the pace. And, you know, how does that impact the overall performance of the field? And so if I try to relate that to the conversation we were just having, or the segment we're talking about, is how does it relate to the field when a guy is so good like Kyle is and is such a good car that he just moves everybody out of the way on his way to the front? You know, did a championship level driver who could have finished fifth end up finishing eighth because he got moved at the wrong time of the race by the leader, who was a Kyle Busch or a Brad Keselowski or Joey Logano, whoever it is? And so I'm super excited to see those guys get to play out their series with, you know, no superstars doing that kind of racing behavior.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. All right, let's talk a little Cup here, sir. What'd you think of the Cup race? For me, same old Pocono, as far as I'm concerned, from a Cup standpoint, with the exception of not having a rain delay, which was nice. You know, so not bad, not great. It was standard for me.
Yeah, I think, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I think Junior said something right, which he doesn't always do, because his opinion isn't always right. It's an opinion. I think they really need to consider, you know, paving the third groove in turn three and turn one to introduce an opportunity to have two wide racing in those corners.
That could make things interesting.
That to me would be way more interesting than trying to adopt some sort of restricted motor package.
Sure. I'm with you there. Bubba's bad luck continues. I'm guessing Pocono is not on his favorite track list right now.
Did he get caught up in the Hamlin wreck? Yeah. I can't remember.
No, it was before that, I believe. But okay. He is not favored well with his starts at Pocono. Hamlin did have an early exit on lap 150 there. Not the Denny Hamlin season we're used to seeing. They are definitely probably third or fourth at Joe Gibbs Racing right now, eh?
I would say fourth because, you know, Daniel Suarez is getting talked about and Denny Hamlin in a favorable light. And sure. Denny Hamlin is not.
Yeah. Yep.
It's what's wrong with Denny Hamlin. It's, man, Suarez is running pretty good, isn't right. he?
Yeah, yep. Johnson starting to rack up a few top tens. He's up to six now, but only got two top fives over a third of the way into the season. Are you still expecting a breakout here at some point with the 48 team?
Well, I tell you what, if NASCAR history teaches you anything, it's sometime in the summer stretch, somebody breaks out.
It used to be Tony Stewart.
Before the COT, it was absolutely Tony Stewart. When it gets hot and slick and car control matters more than endurance and anything else that you, any other skill that you have, Tony was a monster. Jimmy is all of that, and he's better than Tony.
Yeah.
So at this point, I'm still pinning all of their results on the manufacturer from a relative perspective. If Chevy is able to get anything right, it wouldn't shock me for Jimmy to win the championship. I know that's a pretty crazy thing to say, but hey. They're that good. It's like, oh, well, Jimmy forgot how to drive. Only going to win five races the rest of his career. And it's like, man, if that's the prop bet you want to make in Vegas, more power to you.
I'll take it.
The odds are going to be in your favor if you win it. Yep. You're going to win a lot of money because that's not really very likely.
Yeah, I'd be happy to take that bet from somebody. I would love to bet against Jimmy Johnson will win more than five races his whole career, what he's got left. Like, he is not done.
I would bet an appendage that he passes Gordon.
Right? Oh, absolutely. absolutely. So Kyle Larson appears to be the only dominant Chevy right now. Did you think they got something figured out from the manufacturer perspective? Well, what are they hitting on, do you think?
Oh, that's a good question. Whether it's body shape or suspension is a good question. Maybe they figured out a way to get the car a little bit more sealed off than the HMS cars have. I mean, I think, just hearkening to some of the Twitter traffic that was this year and when Hendrick sort of started stop being, you know, like a major player, if you exclude Jimmy, is, you know, the motor restriction rule. Like Hendrick, the reason why everybody wanted a Hendrick engine is they were the best at it.
Yep.
But since we've started using a tapered spacer, you know, you don't get the same top end performance out of the motor. So it's not really a necessary tool anymore. So then you have to have an aero and a suspension kit that is really going to give you an advantage. And I think Hendrick relied on motors for a long, long time to give them why they were the premier team in the sport. And it's caught up with them and they're still playing catch up.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, so let me ask you this. If you're Kevin Harvick's teammates or Kyle Busch's teammates, are you a little bitter right now with how they're performing versus how you're performing? Not bad, but definitely not lights out like those two are.
I mean, I think if you're Clint Bowyer, you're stoked as hell at how much of the race you're spending in the top 10. And then winning at an iconic racetrack like Martinsville, they'll be riding that high probably for another year and a half, if I had to guess.
I mean, and Almirola's got to be happy with his night and day difference from where he was at last year to where he's at now.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I almost feel bad for me saying I wish it had been somebody else besides Almirola they put in that car. I mean, I wanted Casey to be in that car.
That would have been cool.
Because I think Casey would be doing at least as good as Almirola.
Sure.
But that's because I'm a fan.
Yeah.
And it's fan first in NASCAR, right?
Yep.
As in any sport. But I think it's great for Almirola. It would be absolutely great for the sport for him to win. He's a Cuban American. So you introduce some of that diversity stuff that it is important. I know people get upset when you talk about it, but it's absolutely important.
No, it is. Absolutely.
Same reason why it was important for Danica to be in that car.
Yeah. It's nothing wrong with diversity.
Did you listen to Jeff Gluck's 12 Questions with Joey Logano?
I have not. I am I'm 2 weeks behind on his. I'm not going to lie. I listen to a 3-hour podcast every day that does a daily show. So I only get about one extra podcast in each day. So I'm a few behind on his. I'm not going to lie. Right, well,
All right, we'll skip to the front on Jeff because as someone who listens to everything he does, I promise you this is better.
Okay.
Alexander Rossi was the previous guest for Jeff, and he had asked the question. He knew it was going to be a NASCAR driver. He said, "What do you think of Danica?" And I want to hear, I want you to hear Joey answer the question of what do you think of Danica? Because I think you'll be pretty impressed with his response.
I will cue that up tomorrow. Actually, you know what? I'm going to cue that up on my way to pick you up at the airport on Thursday.
Yeah, sure. It's only 12 minutes, so
perfect.
You're good.
That's perfect. All right, so let me ask you this. Last year, Martin Truex Jr. got off to a dominating playoff points lead. And right now, we've got Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick both with 25 playoff points, more than where Martin Truex Jr. was at this point in time last year. Harvick, technically, could potentially have had 30 points right now, which would just be almost a full race advantage. What's your take on the three? Is this a three-dog race for the championship? Yeah, I know you mentioned Jimmy Ed Johnson could potentially still win this, which obviously he could. He could win his way through each round, which would not shock me if he did that. But right now, three-dog race or no?
I hear what you're saying, and I'm gonna take the side road here, not to avoid it. But what I'm going to say is, how funny is it that while NASCAR's fans were so pissed that Matt Kenseth won a championship by only winning one race, how funny is it that NASCAR has instituted a points plan that essentially offers the same opportunity?
Yeah. Yeah, so, right. Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Like, yeah, we're Jekyll and Hyde. We don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, that's like Elliott Sadler last year in the Xfinity Series. He almost won the championship without winning a race in the Xfinity Series.
Right. And I can't remember if the guy that won the race won the championship, but if Elliott finishes second and that guy finishes third, he wins the whole deal.
Yep.
With no regular season race win, it's like, I don't understand in racing. If you look at all of the regional series, everything that leads up to being a NASCAR Cup driver suggests you don't have to win to succeed.
Yeah.
So why do we have to have that at the Cup level?
Right.
I mean, it to me, it's hilarious. It's a hilarious hypocrisy that, yeah, I totally agree with you. The three guys that are the front runners, Truex, Harvick, Busch, man, there something weird's going to have to happen for them not to be in Homestead.
Right.
And I got all kinds of grief on Twitter about saying something along those lines. But the outlet that it came from is not a very well-respected one, so I didn't really give a damn. I mean, that's just how that works, right? Do 150 shows and then come talk to me, buddy.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean – the only person that you could see right now that it could be would be one of the Penske cars or Jimmy.
Yeah.
Well, nobody else really has the history to suggest that they could go on a run and win three or four of the next 13 races.
I mean, you're looking at – all right, so if we got Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Martin Truex Jr., if we're just going to hypothetically pencil those three into Homestead with the fourth dog – we're counting Joey Logano out, potentially Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson. You know, that's a crazy amount of talent that isn't going to have a chance to run for this championship.
Yeah, and if you nailed me to the wall and said you either had to pick somebody or get shot in the face, I'm just flipping a coin between the 2 and the 22 because those are the only two guys I really think have put together a resume that suggests that they make a run.
Yeah, yeah. And interesting, like you said with the hypocrisy of the point system and all that kind of stuff, I don't know we'll ever get there because of the fact they stretched it out so much. I think 16 cars is too big of a first-round field. I think that's too many, personally. But that said, I would love to see 17 different winners in a season so that someone doesn't get in with a win. I've been rooting for that.
Yeah, I've been rooting for that from day one. Once they announced that's what they were doing. I was like, man, I want 17 winners every year because I want somebody to go, we made the playoffs. And then come Indianapolis now go, oh, we didn't make the playoffs.
Yes.
Because I can't, I cannot stand the fact that there is a mathematical opportunity that there's no, that you can't make it. If you only have one win, there's a mathematical existence that says you can't make it in. We only have 12 races to go. And it's still not guaranteed that Austin Dillon is going to make the playoffs.
Yes.
Because if we have 12 different winners in a row that haven't already won, Austin Dillon is not going to make the playoffs.
Right. Unless he shapes up on points somewhat, because he's outside the top 16 right now in points, and he's got the win. Yep. I'm with you.
Without his win, he'd be like 22nd.
Yes. Yep. I'm with you. I would love to see that. Personally, I think 12 would be a good number for the first round, because 13 different winners in a season is not that big of a stretch. 17, that's a stretch.
3 years in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
3 years in a row we've had more than 13 winners.
Yeah, so I think that would be...
Or more than 12, I should say.
Wouldn't that be an ideal situation if you're a fan to see that, to know that if you got to win, you're not necessarily in and make the rest of the races all that more important?
Joey Logano didn't make the playoffs last year because he had a cucumbered win.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
There was 15 different winners and he was 17th in points.
Yep.
Whatever that was, you know,
something like, that's crazy. Oh, well, that was fun. All right. Let's hit some, feel spent. Let's talk some social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. You can listen just about anywhere. iTunes, Podbean, Acast, Blueberry, TuneIn Radio. You name it, you should be able to find the show. All right, before the show, Sherwin, on Periscope, I gave away a Lap Traffic MIS Firekeepers Casino prize pack, which included a Lap Traffic t-shirt, an MIS hat, a Lap Traffic travel mug, a Firekeepers t-shirt, hat, koozies, all that good stuff. And the RPM Standard is the account that won that. So congrats to those guys. I sent them a message to some new follower shout outs. Michael DeFeo at Ryan_Priest_fan from New York. Also a big Modified fan. Kevin at K Bresniak, a former Navy vet. Thank you for your service, sir. Let's see here. He's also a big John Hunter Nemechek fan. Noah Gregson, Bubba Wallace, and Natalie Decker fan. Bill Lynch at Bill_Lynch16 from South Carolina. Old school number 8 junior fan. And James at JamesXXCC from the great state of Michigan and a big fan of Detroit sports. Welcome to the show, guys. Hope you like it. Sherwin, you got any shout outs?
Well, certainly shout out to the to Abby and Molly that we had on our show last night at Fast Cars, Fast Girls. Actually, I think it's at Fast Cars N317, which I believe is the area code Indianapolis.
Nice.
Really appreciate them on essentially fairly short notice coming on the show. Got a lot of cool things coming up on PETM, and of course, Lap Traffic PETM. What are we calling it? The amalgamation this weekend at Michigan International Speedway.
Can't wait.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, go follow us at PETM Podcast.
Absolutely.
We talk racing. We do something a little bit different than Brandon, but that's the reason why you should go listen.
Absolutely. No, I was tuning in live to your show is one of the cooler aspects I think that you guys have been able to make work out. I love the being able to interact with people in the chat, because the chat gets off the rails sometimes while the show isn't off the rails yet. You know, you guys are doing your thing and the chat goes crazy, which is fun. The orange cone comes in there quite a few times. You know, the chat's fun. So if you have the opportunity to check out the PETM podcast live on YouTube while they're doing the show, it is a lot of fun, you know. It's a good time there. But if not, make sure you listen, you know. And just like I am, the PETM podcast, they're on iTunes, Podbean, they're all over the place as well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what we usually say is just Google the PETM Racing Podcast. But for you podcast listeners out there that are going, man, I just don't have enough time in the day to listen to all the podcasts that I want to listen to. Here's your life hack. on iTunes, Podbean, Pocket Cast, and Pod Knife. You have the ability to set the playback speed to 1.5x normal time. And for most podcasts, and I would say 97% of the ones that I've listened to, it does not change your ability to understand what's being said, but you finish the podcast in 66% of the time.
That it's
recorded in, and that saves you a ton of time.
The only podcast I cannot listen on 1.5 speed is MOATF.
You know what? I got those guys figured out. I miss just a little bit, but I'm sticking to it. I might hit the 15-second back button a few times and go, "What the hell did they just say?"
Yeah.
But that's only because I'm not paying like 100% attention to what I'm hearing.
Right, I'm with you. All right, guys, if you see me out at the track this weekend, ask me for a koozie. I will have them on me at all times. So if you want a koozie and you see me at the track this weekend, ask me for it and you will get one. And if you're not going to be at the track this weekend and you want one, visit the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, fill out the request page, and I will get one out to you. If you've tweeted a picture to me of your favorite beverage in your cooler, in your koozie, it is on the website under the fan picks post. There are a ton of cool fan pictures there. You guys are getting creative. I've gotten one with a dog drinking a beer out of a koozie. I've gotten one next to a crab looking at me. It's awesome. I love that. That is so cool. So keep those coming and I will keep sending those, to you. Sherwin. It is time for a break. I got to cut you off for a minute because it is time for the weather segment with Mr. Aaron Studwell.
Oh, cool.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation. Back again for the infamous weather segment of the show. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather. Check out his website, raceweather.net. He's here for what could be one of the most important weather forecasts of the weekend or of the season. Aaron, how's it going this evening?
It's going well. Yes, this is a critical forecast.
Crucial.
Which I have put extra time, extra effort, extra pencil, extra lead, extra everything in it because MIS is the race of the season.
Yes.
For you.
Yes, for me. Yes, for me.
Yes.
All right. So before we get to MIS, let's talk Pocono this past weekend. Things panned out pretty well for everybody.
Yeah, it really looked good from a fan standpoint. There was showers in the area, but none really that threatened to stop the race. And we had rain within, 10 miles of the track, but just real light showers. They held off just as they really kind of, you know, we've had pretty good luck this season. I won't say the forecast has been wrong because when I get rain within 10 miles of the track.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
That's pretty accurate. I'll take that. So if I can be accurate and we get to race in uninterrupted, win-win.
That's a win-win. Yes. That's two in the point column there.
Yeah. So I get two in the point column for the fantasy pool, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
There we go. I need the points I can get.
Yeah, you're not doing too bad there. You know, you're – you know, new week, so it's lots of ties. But yeah, you're up there for segment two so far.
No, yeah, real happy with it. I'm glad you talked me into that.
Yes. All right. So let's talk about first the trucks in Texas outside of the MIS race this weekend. I think this is the first time that of the season that all three series are running with the trucks being at a different location. And we'll start to see that more throughout the season. But I think this is the first time that's happened.
I believe you are correct. And I'm going to quote the 90s, I believe, 90s pop star Buster Point Dexter, Hot, Hot, Hot.
Nice.
Which was officially a remake. But
yeah.
Highs in the mid-90s in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and that's Friday and Saturday because the Indy cars are going Saturday.
That's right.
The heat index Friday will approach 100 at its hottest point during the day.
That's nasty.
For race time, the heat index will still be in the mid-90s. But the actual air temperature forecast will probably be right around 90. Not much of a breeze. It's just going to be hot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thanks. I'll pass on that. Glad I'm staying to the north.
Let's look at Michigan.
Yes. All right.
We'll take this party north.
Break it down.
Easiest thing to say is going to be all weekend highs right around 80.
Okay.
Very temperate, very close to normal.
All right. How's the humidity?
Friday? What's that?
How's the humidity?
Friday we have a pretty good chance of rain. So
okay.
That kind of
all right, that'll answer that one.
It's just the humidity question. Yeah, we have a pretty good chance of rain, showers, and thunderstorms on Friday. A stationary front just north of the area will act as a focal point. There's some disagreement as to coverage and amounts, but definitely going to keep showers and thunderstorms in the Friday forecast. Saturday, the stationary front starts to dissipate a little. We still see some clouds in the area, a slight chance of showers. It's going to get progressively drier. By the time we get to Sunday, it's going to stay cloudy. It'll stay humid. You probably get that haze like you get at times in there.
Yep.
But dry. Pretty good. Yeah, looks good. Dry forecast, no rain in the Sunday forecast. So okay. Once you get past Friday, bring your ponchos.
All right.
And Saturday looking fairly good. Sunday looking pretty good. I'm real happy with the way things are trending there.
Excellent. So hopefully the curse, because Sherwin from the PETM podcast is joining me this weekend at MIS. So hopefully the PETM curse stays in Atlanta.
Oh, fine. Tell me. Tell me that now.
See? Wait. I was waiting to drop that one.
Well, the whole pattern just changed, didn't it?
Monsoons, Friday to Sunday.
He's your own personal little monsoon. I'm going to hear it from him later, I think.
Oh, that's too funny. All right. Well,
I hope you guys have an absolute blast out there. A great time.
Thank you.
Can't wait not to see pictures
Absolutely.
And hear all about it.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, sir. As always, everyone, make sure you follow Aaron at RaceWeather on Twitter. Check out raceweather.net on the web. And, Aaron, we will talk to you next week, sir.
Talk soon. Have a great time.
Thanks, man. We'll see you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. I am back with Sherwin after that lovely weather break with Aaron. All right. It is time for everyone's favorite segment, the lucky dog and the lap down picks from this past weekend. Make sure you send me your picks each and every week after the checkered flag drops. You can tweet them to me. You can leave your picks on the wave around hotline at 248-965-9538. Leave your name, your Twitter handle, comment on the race, and who your picks are. That said, Sherwin, who is your lucky dog of the race?
Well, if I'm just thinking about Cup, then I've got to think Martin Truex. Now, Truex was really fast, but there's no way he was winning that race without all those cautions.
Yeah.
So
that,
I feel like, you know, and we say, you know, what is luck? Luck is where preparation meets opportunity. And Truex's team captured that.
Absolutely.
In a nutshell.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. For me, I'm going with Brad Kay. Quiet top five. You didn't hear much chatter about Brad Kay during the race. So that's who.
I agree with you. And I would say the same thing about Larson.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. I mean, I think we were thinking this is a Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick deal. And which one of them is going to. You know, which one of them is going to come out on the right end of it, and neither one of them did.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So, who are you putting a lap down, sir?
Derek Cope.
Ooh, you're not alone on that one. Let me tell you. When we get to some tweeted responses,
I guess I have to couple that with NASCAR. Like, if I'm saying I put Derek Cope a lap down, he was like 975 laps down. But I'm putting NASCAR and Steve O'Donnell and all those guys up there a lap down and saying, you have got to figure out a better way to manage what is the slowest speed you can run and still be on the racetrack.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
It can't be a function of I came into the pits and worked on it, and so I get a pass for a lap. You know, because that's how they basically used to do it is,
yeah.
Oh, if you come in and work on it, then the first lap back on the track, you don't
have
it doesn't
to
matter
maintain
how slow
speed.
You go.
Right. Yep.
And it's like, all right, I get there's a get up to speed process, but your second lap on the track, if you're 35 mile an hour slower than leader, you got to go to the garage.
Yeah. Yep. No. You can't log laps at that kind of lack of speed there. For me, I was torn. I was torn between putting the pace lap of the Indy race on Sunday down from the Detroit
Grand
Prix.
Well, so I was hoping you would do NASCAR so that we could have a secondary lap down for that.
So I was literally toying between that. That's what I had on my sheet was that. But then as we were talking, I almost thought about putting NASCAR a lap down for the lack of what they were, I assume they were expecting with the plate racing for the Xfinity race. So I guess I kind of got both of those is kind of what I was looking at.
Those are all good lap downs.
Yes.
Because they're all equally disappointing in a lot of ways.
Yes, I'm with you. All right, I'm going to drop in here real quick. We got a couple messages on the Wave Around hotline, so I'm going to drop those in real quick before we get to everyone's tweeted responses.
Hey, Brandon, this is Matthew Fossum on Twitter at NASCAR Thinkings. I know that sounds clunky, but NASCAR Thoughts was taken. Pocono, good race, I thought, actually. Believe it or not, the rain stayed away. And I thought it was actually pretty exciting racing, at least just seeing the 78, the 4, and the 18, and the 42 up there battling it out basically the whole race. That was cool to see. My lucky dog is going to be Matt Kenseth, who came away with a 13th place finish, which I think is much better than where they've been running. So that was cool to see. Tough to pick a lap down, but I guess I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin running out of talent and taking out Alex Bowman there. Sorry, Denny Hamlin fans, but that's where it's at. Anyway, it was a good race. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
All right. Well, I think that was Matt's first time for calling in. So first off, Matt, thanks for calling in. Make sure you call back again. Make sure you tell your friends. See, guys, it's that easy, and you're part of the show. To comment on that, I got to agree with Matt Kenseth as being a lucky dog. Not that he was lucky, but it was a real nice showing by that team to get a 13th place finish. If you lack speed at a track like Pocono, you are definitely going to fall behind. So for them to pull off a 13th place finish there in a car and a team that hasn't shown that much speed in the beginning part of 2018 here, that was nice to see. And your lucky dog, I think a lot of people are on board with that one as well. So thanks again, Matt. And I believe we've got one more message here on the Wave Around Hotline.
What's up, Brandon? It's Andrew. Twitter handle at Kansian. Personally, I thought it was a good race at Pocono. I'm a little biased because Pocono is actually one of my favorite tracks going there as a kid. But, you know, it was a battle of the big three, and if people want, you know, racing back in the good old days, well, you've just got your good old days racing, you know, three cars dominating out front. So I don't really know what fans want, but I don't think any of us do sometimes. If I had to go with a lucky dog, I'm going to put Arca as the lucky dog because if Brennan Poole would have won that race and become the first, quote, female to win subbing for Natalie Decker, that would have been hilarious. And I just would have loved to see chaos on Twitter. That would have been so funny. Lap down, I got to say, I'm going to say this from now to the end of the year, is the tapered spacer because I've had enough of it. And it's probably the stupidest rule change ever. That and, you know, like I said, good race. Also, lap down, I'm going to say myself for jumping in a hot tub with a phone charger. Luckily, it wasn't the phone, just the charger. But I don't have good luck with chargers, but that's neither here nor there. I'll talk to you later, bud.
Always a blast to hear from Andrew. Andrew, thanks so much for calling in. And don't forget, go check out, give Andrew a follow at Kansian. Make sure you check out his podcast, Out of Left Field, some college guys talking about college life. It's a lot of fun to listen to. As far as his comments there, it's funny. Fans want old school racing. I don't think fans remember what old school racing was. And I just think they say they want old school racing because they just don't like what they have now. So they just think what was older was better. That was an old school race, you know. So if that's what you say you want, like you said, you definitely got it. Hopefully they'll get rid of that spacer one day. Who knows? We can all hope that, can't we? All right, everyone, that is the Wave Around Hotline. That's your lucky dog and lap down picks for the week. Make sure you are staying on top of those and getting those into me at the end of each race weekend. All right, so that was the messages on the Wave Around Hotline. It is time now for your tweeted responses. Sherwin, feel free to chime in here with some editorialization. It's very welcomed here at this point in time. Mick at GoDucks42_Mick's lucky dog. Martin Truex Jr. had a bad stop and was able to recover. Lap down, Team Chevy showing some improvement, but still haven't closed the gap. Anything?
I don't know that I have anything to add to that. I think Mick nailed it.
Yes, I agree. All right. Definitely, I am expecting a comment here. MOATF at MOATF Podcast. Lucky dog is David for keeping his money in his pocket and not giving it to Brandon on DraftKings. Lap down, Landon Castle for not joining him on the Gladiator ring at the front of Pocono. I cannot wait for their show to drop this week. Their first time at a NASCAR race, being from across the pond. Their Twitter was full of pictures and stuff. I can't wait to hear their take on their first NASCAR race.
Well, I'm definitely personally disappointed that I was not able to attend, or we were not able to attend in some capacity for them to come over, because that's, to me, what they're doing is one of the coolest things that's happening in a NASCAR space, is that people that are like geographically isolated away from, you know, a sporting series that in a lot of ways is geographically isolated here in its own country.
Yep.
The fact that they're interested in talking about it and going to races is so cool. And I don't know what their experience with Landon Castle was. I don't know about that. But, I mean, I'm just glad they came. I'm glad they came over here. I hope they had fun in New York when they were there before they left.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, it's – how do we go to whatever their NASCAR series is in England and make that work?
Right.
Like – yeah. Let's go over there and raise some hell, you know, American redneck style.
You know, and like you said, you know, that's, I mean, they got 9-to-5 jobs just like we do. You know, they burn time off for an overseas NASCAR trip, which is pretty cool. You know, like, and I think that plays a role into some of the reason why track attendance is down. People just don't get time off handed to them, and you know, to take time off to burn maybe a Friday to Monday, you know, for people that maybe only get 5 or 10 days off, that's a lot on, you know, personal sacrifice there. And, you know, for those guys to do that, like you said, I think that's awesome. It's a bummer we couldn't have made it work out for this weekend at MIS, but something tells me hopefully in the near future, maybe next season, we'll be able to meet up with those guys at a track. That would be a blast.
Yeah. Well, what we need to do is set our goals on 2019 or 2020 being at Homestead.
Ooh.
and all of us be there.
That would be cool. That would be very cool. All right. David at DFlint14's lucky dog is the 18 pit crew. They've been lights out the past 2 weeks. Lap down, Derek Cope. No excuse to be in the groove blocking the leaders when you're 8 laps down due to speed at Pocono. I know Sherwin agrees with that one. 100%. That's our first 100% of the show right there.
Sure. Everybody have a drink.
Right there. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog. Team Chevy getting them back towards the front. Lap down, TV viewers tired of hearing DW, JG, and Mike constantly talk about Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Martin Truex Jr. 90% of the time. Captain Redneck at Redneck_Captain's lucky dog. 18, just kidding. Lap down, Toyota getting hot. Oh, he's nervous about Toyota getting hot. I would be too. They are definitely firing up. Noah at Ficked Paint Schemes lucky dog. Martin Truex Jr. Lap down, Justin Allgaier wrecking Christopher Bell in the Xfinity race. Yeah, that was an interesting one. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Man, I forgot all about that race.
I did, too. all right. Lap Traffic Nation, heading out to the track this weekend. I want a ton of messages when I get back on the Wave Around hotline for next week. So tweet your picks if you must, or feel free to interact, and I'll play your messages back on the show, just as I did with Andrew today. I want a lot of messages. So 248-965-9538 is the Wave Around hotline number. And now we move on to the picks. Sherwin, it's fantasy time. Make sure you send your picks by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction going. The MOATF podcast supposedly didn't have internet connection this week and was not able to do the head-to-head DraftKings with me. I personally think, as they mentioned, they're just sick of giving me $5 every week. So that said, maybe we'll get one going this week with them. And Mike and I are now 1-1, so we're going to have a rubber match this weekend. It's the start. Well, we're into week two of the Lap Traffic Fantasy League segment two. No one picked the Xfinity winner because it was Kyle Busch, and he was not an allowable pick. And as Mick pointed out, which, Sherwin, this is probably going to shock you, no one in the league even picked Martin Truex Jr. for the Cups, which is crazy that out of 50-some-odd people, not one person picked Martin Truex Jr. for Cup. For the standings, I'm not going to read off the whole top 10 because I'd be reading off half the field with ties. That said, week high was 93 points with those that took Harvick and Sadler. So we've got a 9-way tie for first after week one in segment two with 93 points with Chris Lowther, David James, Jeff Hess, Jeff Lagg, Mike Elliott, Recca Porter, Robert Kiplinger, Urban, Yunker Motorsports, and Chad Robb. And then we've got a 4-way tie for second with 92 points with Matt Fossum, Patrick Rudolph, Tommy Witt, and, oh, I'm sorry, Yunker's in that category there. So things will start to fan out here as we continue to go along. Chloe has almost a 100-point cumulative total lead. She's still holding first cumulative. Tommy Witt's in second, John Entwistle's in third, Jeff Hess is in fourth, and Mike Elliott is in fifth, cumulative-wise. My picks for Pocono did not do that great, as I had Brandon Jones, who was doing good there till he ran out of gas with two laps to go, and I had Keselowski, who got a quiet fifth-place start there. So I'm not making noise yet, but that said, Sherwin, it's time for the picks. This week, we head to the fastest track on the circuit, my home track, Michigan International Speedway, celebrating their 50th anniversary. Kyle Larson has dominated this track as of late, winning the last three races and has a win at MIS's sister track, Auto Club, last year as well. Larson seems to be the only Chevy that's shown any speed and been able to challenge Harvick, Busch, and Martin Truex. Does he get his first win of 2018? Matt Kenseth has three wins at MIS and one at MIS back in 2015. We haven't seen a lot of speed from Roush as of late, but could Matt Kenseth maybe sneak one out? Kyle Busch won at MIS back in 2011. Harvick won in 2010. And Truex is without a win at MIS. Do our three most recent winners and top winners in 2018 claim manufacturer supremacy in the land of the Motor City? And how does the new Xfinity package play out at a big two-mile-wide track? We'll find out this weekend. Sherwin, it is time for the picks over to the Truck Series. Who do you got?
So I'm going to go with maybe someone that's a little bit lesser known, because I think it'll be fun. The draft is a huge factor in the trucks at Michigan. And so what
they're,
I'm going to go
with.
They're
running Texas.
Texas. Excuse me. Ha! I got called out there. Brain scramble. Yeah, so Texas.
Same thing, though. It's big mile and a half track.
It really is. It's essentially the same race, just a slightly smaller track. So I am going to go with the 33 of Josh Rayum.
All right. I like that. I am going with the 18 of Noah Gregson. Over to the Xfinity race. Sherwin, who's your pick for the Xfinity race?
Well, I mean, we got to pick our sentimental favorite here. I said we. It's me. The number 61, Kaz Grala.
Oh, I like that. I am going with the 00 of Cole Custer this weekend at MIS in the Xfinity race.
They've been pretty quick.
They've been pretty quick. All right, and your cut pick, sir.
Michigan. You know what? I'll stick with what I picked on our show yesterday. I picked Brad, hometown winner. It's his lifelong goal to win in the Cup Series at his home track. So I'm going with Brad.
Excellent. I am back on the number four train. I am riding Kevin Harvick to a Motor City win. He's long overdue to get his second win at that track. Hasn't happened since August 2010. this weekend, I get to see Kevin Harvick win a second cup race and maybe even an Xfinity race, which I'm kind of pumped about. I'm not even going to lie about that.
Right. Well, I'll be happy for you if that goes down.
Thank you. All right.
I had something else to say. I was going to say there, but I don't. It's gone. It disappears that fast, y'all. Like when you're in the moment on the mic, sometimes your mind just goes, wanders.
Goes. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. That is a wrap for episode 72 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. This one was extra fun. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, the Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter at Lap Traffic PC. Sherwin, where can everybody find you and the show at?
Yeah, so start off on Twitter at PETM Podcast, and then we've got our own website, www.petmpodcast.com. We're on Podbean, iTunes, Pocket Cast, Podknife, you name it. If you just Google PETM Racing Podcast, you will find your output.
Excellent. All right, huge thanks to Sherwin for coming on the show today. Sir, I will see you on Thursday. The road to MIS continues this Friday with the live show from the MIS Media Center. Stay glued to the Lap Traffic Twitter at Lap Traffic PC for the show lineup, pictures, video, you name it. It's going to be huge. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya.
Yeah, it's barely 36 hours.
Yeah, that's crazy.